is Athanasius, which we should begin with, is called The Principle and Foundation. The principle is that everything in this world is made by God for a purpose. That purpose is to help us reach heaven. We can distinguish among these creatures in the world three questions. Why were we created? Secondly, why did God create other things, other persons, other places, every circumstance in our life? And finally, how are we to use these creatures in our life to reach heaven? Every one of us will die and not made for this world, made for heaven. And the question is how we are to use the persons, the place and things that God puts into our lives. First we ask the question, why did God make us? He made us, we must repeat, out of nothing. That's what creation means. God used nothing. God parted with nothing of himself. Made therefore by God out of nothing. All the benefits, everything will be created on our own. They are not benefits to God. We shall be only as happy in this life and the life to come, and to use what God puts into our lives according to his purpose. To experience peace on earth and be attitude to the world to come. That's why we exist. There are three statements of St. Ignatius. I'd like to quote. First, Ignatius says, how ugly is the world when we gaze upon heaven? Well, the secret should always live. Our minds fixed on heaven. Every one of us will die. Our faith tells us when we die, we not go out of existence. When we die, we finally are made for heaven. Either we'll reach heaven, or I have to say it, you'll go to hell. Our prayer should always be, Lord, what do I desire? What do I want? Accept you. You will in this life, and will send you in the life to come. We should prefer the glory of God to everything. Everything. Do everything only as God wants us to use it to glorify him. Everyone in chapel this evening will die. Our faith tells us when we die, we not cease to exist. Quite the contrary, we begin to exist as souls. As souls made for God. And these souls, we believe, will one day be reunited with our bodies. Question. Why do we exist here on earth? We exist here on earth only a very short time. I am 86 years old. What are 90? 100 years. Oh, the denominator of eternity. A very, very small fraction. And made to serve God here on earth. If we do, if we serve God faithfully here on earth, we shall save our souls. Save our souls means we'll reach heaven. Whatever else I say at the end of this retreat, let's make sure we realize there was a heaven and there was a hell. This is the purpose of our existence. But we cannot reach heaven without using the necessary means of getting there. That is why the rest of the world exists. Every person, every place, everything in our lives, there is our lives, even for a moment, is meant by God to lead us to heaven. We can ask ourselves, what are these other things? They are everything. Everything, even for a moment, touches our lives. Every person, every place, every pleasure, every pain. Oh, we need to believe this. Every pain has a purpose. Every pleasure has a purpose. Every pain we experience is meant to lead us to God. Every pleasure is to be experienced only, ever is crucial, only according to God's will. Every thought we think, we desire we have, every sight we see, oh, how we need to watch our eyes. Are we to look at everything we see? No. Are we to listen to everything that we hear? No. Every sight we see, every song we hear, ordained by God to lead us to our heavenly destiny. Every person, every place, everything, everything, every thought, every desire is meant by God to be a grace lead us to heaven. There are no such things as chance in God's providence. The verb to happen is a pagan word. Nothing ever happens in our lives. Everything is part of God's providence. The Ignatius Carolinati used the term were created, was created. No such thing as past tense with God. Everything in our lives has a present meaning. Thus you just see the hand of God in everyone who touches our lives. Every thought we think, every desire we have. Does God want me to have this thought? We begin this retreat and make sure I am clear of all kinds of thoughts. Every day, our mind, shall I say, is cluttered with thoughts. Among the thoughts we have, some God wants us to think. Are the thoughts we have that God wants to remove? Yes. Yes. Was allowed? Yes. The secret is to see the hand of God in everything, in everyone that for a moment touches our lives. Not to make the mistake of thinking that anything, or if anything ever happens in our lives. The verb to happen is a pagan word. Nothing ever happens in our lives. With God, there is no such thing as fate or fortune or misfortune. Everything is part of His wise, loving plan for our salvation. Everything, every person, every thought we have, is part of God's providence. Men by God, even to either to be thought or be put out of our minds. Do we have thoughts in our minds that should be removed? Yes. Are the person that are our lives that, shall I use the verb, should we move from our lives? Yes. They may use the words His created. With God, there's no such thing as a past tense. Everything is in the mind of God. With God, there's no such thing as fate or fortune or misfortune. Everything, in the most painful experience in our lives, is meant by God to be a means of leading us to heaven. And we begin this retreat how we must be sure we understand every person, everything, every event is part of God's merciful, all-wise providence. The quotation of St. Ignatius, I would like to quote before we go on. First quotation. There are few people who realize that God would make what God would make of them if only they abandon themselves entirely to His hands and let themselves be governed completely by His grace. Every person, every event in our lives is a grace from God. Are there such things as painful graces? Yes. I repeat, everything in our lives is part of God's mysterious providence. No such thing as chance with God. Another quotation. Happy are they who prepare themselves in this life to be judged and saved by God's divine majesty. For His love and respect, in which you speak, I ask, without delay, most diligently, reform your consciences, that on the day of your final destiny, your souls may enter heaven. You're not made for this life. The longest life on earth, 90 years, 100 years, what is over the denominator of eternity? A very small fraction. And now the big question. How are we to use everything, everyone in our lives? We are to use everything in our lives, two crucial adverbs, discriminately and dispassionately. Oh, how important those two adverbs are. Everything in our lives you are to use discriminately. What do I mean, discriminately? We are to use every creature in our lives insofar as that creature helps us attain our eternal destiny. And hear it. We are to rid ourselves of every creature. And how pleasant that creature may be that stands in the way of our salvation. Oh, dear God, how hard this is. As we begin this retreat, the most important thing we need to do is to discriminate, distinguish among the creatures in our lives, which creatures, no matter how pleasant they may be, which ones God wants me to enjoy, which ones God wants me to endure. We are to enjoy only what God wants to enjoy. We are to endure what He wants us to endure. And hear it. The greatest joy on earth is to endure painful things out of love for God. I know what I'm saying. We go on. We can distinguish four kinds of creatures that enter our lives. There are those that want us to enjoy just plain joy. There are others that God wants to endure. God wants us to suffer. Am I clear? God wants to endure. God sends us persons, places, and things that He wants us to suffer. Still others, how important this is, that God wants us to remove. If only there are creatures God wants us to give up. Not because they are sinful, but because we want to please God and do His will more generously than we have been doing so far. So we ask ourselves, what persons, what places, what things does God want me to enjoy? And we begin this retreat. I ask you to examine your consciences. Ask yourselves, what persons, what places, what things God wants you to enjoy? And then enjoy them according to God's will. Then ask yourselves, what persons, what places, what things God wants us to endure. Oh, dear God, I need to hear this. The person that God put into our lives, women are their husbands, that God wants you to endure. Yes. And can I say it? Enjoy the endurance. I know what I'm saying. We've got to ask ourselves, we begin this retreat again, what persons, places, and things God wants to remove from my life. In God's name, as you make this retreat, I beg you to classify what persons, what places, what things God wants you to endure. What God wants you to suffer. And then the big question. What persons, places, or things in your lives are not necessarily occasions of sin, but God invites you, a carefully chosen verb, invites you to surrender, to give up. Not because you have to, because you want to, out of love for God. I entered the Society of Jesus in 1936. September the 1st. It will be 64 years into the Society of Jesus. 3 days before entering the Society, to have a dinner, a wonderful woman whom I dearly loved, the meal I told her, Joe, her name was Josephine. Joe, I'm into the Society of Jesus. It's coming Wednesday. Sunday evening was the dinner. Men cried. Rest the meal, ate nothing. Ask yourselves, whom, what does God want you to give up? I repeat, not because it's a sin for you to keep or enjoy, but because you love God so deeply and so dearly, out of love for Him, willing, ready to give up. Oh, dear God, dear Lord, how many need to hear this? Retreat is not meant just to help you save your souls. A retreat is intended to help you reach heaven more surely and enjoy heaven more deeply. Oh, dear Lord, how we need to know what, I repeat, persons, places, and things in our lives God wants us not to give up because they're sinful, but to surrender because we love God more than these creatures. Knowing human nature, seeing it's assumed, we are not spontaneously drawn to what is pleasing to God, or spontaneously repulse what is displeasing to God. We all have a fallen human nature. Shall I change the adjective? You all have a falling human nature. You all have what we call concupiscence, which inclines us to want and strongly want what is not sinful to enjoy. But God will be more pleased if we gave it up. That is why we can ask ourselves, dear Lord, what do you want me to surrender? Not because I have to, because it is sinful, because I want to, since I love you more than anything or anyone in this world. That is why I have a free will. Oh, this needs to be said. I have a free will not only to avoid sins. I have a free will to surrender what is pleasant, deeply satisfying, but God would be more pleased if I gave it up. To illustrate, we all prefer health to sickness. I trust among you there are those whom God has sent sickness, disability. Are there? I hope so. And the thing to see God's hand behind, beneath, below, within everything. Take health. Not his people want for health to sickness. I'm very surprised if all of us are always perfectly healthy. You're not you want to possess. We always have what we want. I hope not. Question. You all want to be honored, to be respected, to be praised by others. Has God put into your lives persons who not respect you, nor love you, even persons who positively hate you? If there are such persons, thank God. You all want to live a long life. No two of us am I identically the same age. Very surprised if 1 year from today all of us will be alive. In the bedrock of our struggle through life, I'm poorly tenacious to make ourselves indifferent to all created things according to the will of God. We do not prefer health to sickness, a long life to a short life, honor to dishonor, but we accept everything as coming from God. And it is called this indifference. What do you mean? We are to cultivate in ourselves not denial of what is obvious. Pleasant persons, pleasant things will remain pleasant. painful persons, painful things remain painful. But we train our wills to control our desires. What is pleasant, nor fears of what is painful. Oh, dear God, how we all need to be trained in this. Needs to say to want what is painful, not want what is pleasant, is not easy. One desire, one choice should always be what is more conducive. The word of St. Ignatius. More conducive to what? To our final destiny. You all live long enough to know this. That person God has put into our lives that are pleasant. People God put into our lives who are painful. And we need to know God puts both pleasant and painful persons, places and things in our lives. God wants to accept what is painful. Shall I say it? To love what is painful. Not because it is pleasant, but because it is the will of God. How God wants us to endure. Looking over the audience, I see some of you are still quite young. Still have years to go. I was here before. Born in June the 18th. 1914. I am now past 86 years old. God puts in our lives many pleasant persons. The secret is not to know what is pleasant and what is painful. See, it is to know whether what is painful is in by God to be painful. What is pleasant intended by God to be pleasant. Hear it. And what is pleasant in my life is not intended by God to be pleasant. In God's name, remove it from your lives. Am I clear? What is painful in your lives, and we must to get rid of it? No. That's what it is all about. Ask the Lord to tell you what persons, what places, what things He wants to endure, what He wants to enjoy. Now one desire, A one choice in life should always be what is, in language of St. Ignatius, was more conducive to the destiny for which we were created. What persons in our lives are more sure, more certainly intended by God to lead us to heaven? Now, the retreat is all about ask yourselves in God's presence what persons, what places, what things are intended by God to be enjoyed. The key phrase is intended by God to be enjoyed. What persons, places, and things in your lives God wants you to endure. Dear God, I need to know your will, and not just our own. What do you want us to enjoy? What do you, dear Lord, want us to endure? What you want to enjoy, we'll enjoy. We want us to suffer, we will suffer. Dare I say it, we'll enjoy ourselves in suffering. I'm not quoting from books. According to my own lifetime experience, the purpose of our opening meeting in this retreat, ask yourselves what persons, what places, what things in your life God wants, God, repeat, God wants you to enjoy. Enjoy them. But then ask yourselves, what does God want you to endure? What does God, repeat, God want you to suffer? Love you, be human beings. Has God put into your lives persons, places, and things that He wants you to suffer? Dare I say it? The deepest joy on earth is to enjoy what God wants us to suffer. Am I clear? With the grace of God, only with the grace of God, we can master our feelings. How we need to control our thoughts. The most important thing we have to do in life is to control our thoughts. In a given minute, all kinds of thoughts enter our minds. Ask God to tell you what thoughts He wants you to think. And then spend the rest of your lives thinking only what God wants you to think. Remove from your minds whatever God does not want you to think. Am I clear? Oh, dear Lord. Dear Lord. Once more, dear Lord, how hard it is to control our thoughts. and then ask, oh Lord, dear Lord, what do you want me to think? And the grace to think only what you want me to think. And keep off my mind, out of my mind, every person, every place, everything which you not want me to think. My God, is that true? And we begin this retreat so that I would concentrate on the most important thing we need to do in life, to master our minds. I know what I am saying. It is impossible to control our thoughts without God's grace. That is why we must pray. The only way we can master our minds and our wills except through prayer. Whatever else I share with you through these days of the retreat, in God's name I plead with you, pray, come, pray, come, pray, always. Say that again. Pray always. What am I telling you? Have God always on your mind. Talk to God. Speak to Him. Do I say it? All day and all night long. For while we control our thoughts, then we can choose what's in our minds. Our minds will contain what God wants us to think. Oh, dear Lord, how we need to master our minds. I could spend hours talking about 1,000 things this opening conference of the retreat. My concentration is on controlling your minds. Controlling your minds. Control your minds. Whether the thoughts you think are the thoughts that God wants you to have on your mind. Because what we think is what we desire. What we desire is what we choose. What we choose determines our destiny. Dear Lord, how we all need, every one of us, to master our minds. In other words, to control our thoughts. We think only those thoughts God wants to think. But object, but Father, my mind is wandering all day long. That's where you make the retreat. Stop that wandering. Our thoughts should always be thoughts that lead us to heaven. Every thought we think should be one pleasing to God. Don't tell me it's impossible to control your minds. Everything. Our final destiny depends on our mastering our minds. Because what we think we desire, what we desire we choose, what we choose determines our destiny. You'll reach heaven only if the thoughts on our minds are the thoughts that God wants to have. The most important function of the human will is to master our minds. Am I clear? Dear Lord, dear God, what work we have in life to control our minds, so our minds will always think of the thoughts that God wants to think. But our minds immediately, I repeat immediately, what God does not want us to think. Because only if we think the thoughts, then more certainly, more assuredly, lead us to heaven, you get us to heaven. Our disposition should be to do more than we're obliged to do under penalty of sin. Hear it. It's not enough to just control our minds, but keep out our mind, but keep out of our minds sinful thoughts. We should master our minds so completely that our thoughts will always be thoughts that lead us to our eternal destiny. Now, some maxims of St. Ignatius. St. Ignatius, like a lovely person in his life, only as much as it helps to the service and glory of God. Oh, dear Lord, how important that statement is. I love a person in this life only as much helps me to serve and glorify God. How we all need to master our thoughts. In God's name, control your minds. What we think we desire, what we desire we choose, what we choose determines our destiny. And the quotation of St. Ignatius. Seek the presence of God in all things, in conversation with others, what you need to say. You talk to others, think of God. What are we saying? Think of God and whom you're talking to, not only when you are talking to people, in walking, in looking, in tasting, in hearing, in understanding, in all that you do, seek the presence of God. strive to please God in everything you do. Every step you take, every word you pronounce, the word you listen to, how important this is, shall I ask a question? Should we listen to everything we hear? Question, I'm asking you, should we listen to everything that we hear?
No.
Should we look at everything that we see?
No.
We are to look only at what God wants to look at. Oh, dear God, how important it is to always have you in our minds. Every thought we think, every word we hear, every step we take, be conscious of living in the presence of God. Dear Lord, teach me to see you in everything that I do. You want me to think what I'm thinking. You want me to say what I'm saying. You want me to hear what I'm listening to. Always, dear Lord, I see you in everything I do, in everything, because then I am sure of reaching you, my God, for whom I've been made. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Gloria.